Welcome, Life Church. Let's give the Lord a praise offering today. Hi, I'm Pastor Norma Barrero, for those that don't know me. And I am so blessed and privileged to preach the last Sunday of every year. And so you have to know that this has been working for a whole year up in here, okay? So in my head, I'm saying, turn down for what? Okay, I got to release this, okay? I have to impart this, okay? I'd like to welcome the Internet Church, and God bless you. Let's give a shout out to our Internet people online. We bless you. We encourage you today. And today, the Lord's given me a message, and actually I'm writing a book called Heaven on Earth, and I'm going to try to compact it and give you a little bit about what the Lord has been giving me for this time and season. How many of you know that God doesn't have a calendar like us? But He moves in times and seasons. Amen. And I really believe the Lord is releasing this word for us to catapult us into the season that we're living on the earth. And I'm going to start off by Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay. So I want to be able to help you to get a good paradigm on what I'm trying to share with you. And I want to begin in this part because I want you to know that God, in His mind, He intentionally made earth. It was not a mistake. He intentionally made earth for humanity. And because our God, He has a vision. He has a vision, and then He works from the end to the beginning. He creates a thing, and then He causes something to be born to fulfill the very thing that He wants created. Amen. So say with me, heaven on earth. In Luke 11, verse 1 and 2, it says, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, this being Jesus, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Okay, when John was released on the earth, it was for a time and a season. Say with me, time and season. And what He came speaking as a prophet, he came speaking preparation, preparing the way of the Lord. Amen? So just like us, we are a people. We are disciples of Jesus. But at that time, they were preparing the earth for Jesus' coming. Okay, and so they were saying, okay, when John was here and he was our mentor and he was our leader, he was teaching us how to prepare for your coming. But now how do we pray now? Because they had came out of that season. And so now they were in the season of Jesus being here now. Amen. And so they said, teach us how to pray and bring this breakthrough on the earth. And he said in verse 2, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in the earth. So, as disciples of Jesus, this is how we ought to pray. This is how we ought to desire, or what we desire to manifest on the earth, right? Is that heaven come on earth. We were not just born to get tagged into heaven. Okay? We were born to occupy the earth. Say with me, occupy. Tell your neighbor you have an occupation on the earth. Okay, you're not just here to play the Xbox. Okay, you're not here to watch Netflix all your life. All right, you came to occupy. That's from your rest of what you are occupying. Okay, so I don't want to take that out. You know, Don't throw stones on me right now. I just started, okay? I'll give you deeper reason to throw a stone, all right? And so God desires for us to have an understanding of heaven. And when we think of heaven, what do we think of? Peace, joy, love, tranquility, unity, cleansed from sin and just walking in holiness. We think about those things. But it says on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants us to bring down from heaven, and I'll give it to you this way. One day, God saw that the earth was going to need a Savior. So what He did is that from heaven, he released Jesus to earth. So Jesus became heaven on earth. And so over here, Jesus knew the mission. Okay. So as Jesus was walking, even though he had a mission and a place to occupy on the earth, there was still persecution. Hello? There was still people thinking wrong about him. Who does he think he is? You know, and so he knew who he was. It wasn't that he was thinking, he was manifesting who he was. And God was with him, and God showed him how to escape when they tried to kill him ahead of time or to stop his mission. He had to endure as he walked into that very place. And the word of God says if the devils knew what was going to happen, they would have never killed him. Because the devil operates in deceit. And I believe today that the Lord desires to break deceit off of our lives so we can understand our value as children of God, as the people of God. Amen. It's time for the church to enter into their identity, that we are heaven on earth. God knew that your family was going to need someone that could endure, someone that would be able to walk that walk so that you can also make a path for them to walk. And God has released you on the earth as it is in heaven. He has a plan for your life. In we're going to go to Romans 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm going to stop there for a moment because Pastor Kevin preached a message a few years ago on perspective. And message really was a series that really shifted my perspective. And one of the things and the points that he brought out is that sometimes when we read the Bible, we're reading it out of a place of condemnation. We're reading it out of a place of rejection that is in our life. We're not reading it out of God's perspective and how he's saying it and the heart that is on the author of the Bible, which is the Lord inspired by his spirit. Amen. And see, it's time for us to be able to come back to the place that God originally had for us. When he made man, he said it was good. Amen? He said it was good. So God is trying to get us. You know, you're not special or extraterrestrial or anything like that because you can see evil. Anybody can see evil. You don't even have to be spiritual. You can watch the news and see evil all around you. Amen. That's not supernatural. Supernatural is when you can see that thing and you can see the goodness of God and know how to pull the goodness out of that community. No matter what anybody's saying about that community, God gives you the insight of what's in it and gives you to be the answer to transform it. Amen. Amen. It says the next verse, it said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So until we learn how to see good in things, we won't know what the perfect will of God is. Because we think the perfect will of God is daisies and a picket fence and your favorite car in the driveway. The perfect will of God is for you to arise from your family and say no to drug addiction, no to pornography, no to poverty, no to rejection, no to abandonment. When we can arise, God wants to transform the way we see things. The church is so filled with offended people. The church is filled with people that don't know. If somebody rise up, they feel less. If somebody rise up, they become a path for you to rise up with them. Yeah. That we begin to see things differently. That we don't see evil because God has now transformed our minds. He says, don't conform to the ways of the world. The ways of the world, you roll your eyes at me, I'm going to roll them back at you. And then I'm going to shake my neck too. See, the ways of the world is you rejected me, I'm going to reject you. Those are the ways of the world. It says, bring your body as a living sacrifice, because sometimes you're going to have to endure hardship. You're going to have to endure them saying, oh, look at her. Why is the boss promoting her? And you're going to have to realize that God is promoting you for a reason. I remember when I had a job and I was very persecuted for my beliefs. I didn't go in there carrying a Bible. Hello? I just didn't do what they did, and they didn't like it. Because when you don't do what they do, they don't like it, because now you bring conviction to them. But out of the blue, God rose me up to be their boss. And they were like afraid, oh, now she's going to get us back. But what I did was pull out the good inside of them, put them in the right positions, cause them to grow, cause them to develop the gifts that was inside of them and the talents, and honor them for their work. Hello? And that brought a different standard. You are heaven on earth. Amen. God has put you on jobs. God has put you in families. And maybe you're the only one that's not cray-cray in that family, but you're not cray-cray for a reason. You got more sense than them for a reason, because God's going to use you. See, I don't want to go ahead of myself. Let me get back over here. Because you know what? I have... The reason that I was born on the earth was to be able to see the good in people and to bring it forward, even though they didn't see the good in me. See, and you have to be okay with who you are. You have to understand it might not work today, but it's in process. It's a seed that you release when you don't do what other people do, when you don't conform to the ways of the world. When you're not there judging and pointing fingers, but you're pointing fingers at yourself, and you're getting this together. Yes. Instead of trying to get them together.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot stand up to ungodly structures and strongholds on our own accord or in our own strength, carnal strength. No matter how we think we have it all planned out or figured out, or we have a way of manipulating things, situations, we must allow Christ to be formed in us, the hope of glory. We don't need to learn how to fight. We need to learn how to become like him. Then we become his weapon, the weapon he fights with. Hello? God wants to make you a weapon. God wants to make you that secret agent. Amen. God did not call us to be police officers and put people in chains and handcuffs. He called us to unlock the handcuffs and to break the chains. He didn't call us to categorize, oh, you're holy because you look like that, and you're holy because you do that, and you're holy because you're here every Sunday. No, he called you to go out there to the world, to come in here and be equipped, to go out there and unlock the chains and unlock the handcuffs. Come on, somebody. You got some people to set free. You got some people to redeem. Can you imagine? God says, if you are saved, your whole house is saved. Amen. I don't care what they look like. Amen. Jesus didn't care what they look like. They said, crucify him, crucify him. And he just went pimping to the cross. That's my version. That's my version. He went there because he's like, you don't even know. It's about to get real in here. You're about to see who's your daddy. You're about to see who's your daddy. That even though you can't even help yourself, I'm going to come and be your daddy. And I'm going to come and take care of you. And I'm going to come and provide for you. And I'm going to come and heal you. And I'm going to set you free. It didn't matter if they didn't want to be set free. It didn't matter if they wanted to be free or not. They were just born at the right time, at the right place. That's all. They were born in the right season. The Bible says that people, prophets and people of God, wish they could see what you're about to see. And God's talking about heaven on earth. He's about to manifest heaven on earth. He's about to manifest it through your personal life. I don't care how many demons your culture brings or your society brought. I don't care. You have been God's battle axe and his weapon of war, and you don't even really know it. You don't even know that God called you out of those things, out of darkness into his marvelous light. And because you did that, you made a passageway, just like he made a passageway. No matter what, sometimes people just don't know better. But if you know better and don't do it, ooh, watch out. That you stand in that persecution. You stand when they say, oh, look at Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. Yeah, now I got some new shoes. Hello, Miss Goody Two Shoes. Oh, look at her. Oh, look at that. God has always manifested himself real to me. The other day, several months ago, I had asked the Lord, I went to somebody's house, and I seen perfume on their dresser. They showed me all the perfumes they had and all these name brands and, you know, like $75, $95 a bottle kind of perfumes. And I was like, wow, Lord, I wonder if I would ever have that. You know, because sometimes when you've lived in poverty, you don't even want to pay that much, you know. And so then I was like, well, I wonder if I could get that type of perfume. So I go on a trip, and the pastor's wife comes with a gift of a Coach perfume. I said, oh, thank you. This does smell good, because I don't even open the bottles. I don't touch the counters, because I hear my mom's voice, don't touch it, because if you break it, we got to buy it. And so then I go, and we go to a service, and a lady brings me a box of Giorgio Armani, the new scent, the newest scent, si. And I'm like, si, senor. Si, senor. And so I get this bottle, and this is how ignorant I am. There's a little bottle, which is a pure perfume, and I thought it was a trial size. And I said, oh, here, daughter, you can have the trial size. And that was the most expensive part of the box. That's how much I don't know. So anyway, then I got that, and then I turn around, and then I was watching a commercial of a perfume from Elizabeth Arden called Untold, and I said, oh, I wonder how that smells. And my granddaughter's at the edge of the couch saying, oh, Grandma, you already got two bottles of perfumes already. You don't need another one. I said, I just was asking God. I was just asking. I wonder how. I didn't say I wanted it. And see, the devil will even use your little grandchild to shut down your dreams. So anyway, I go to my next event, my next state, and they bring me a box of Untold. And so I said, wow. And so I just went before the Lord, thank you. Why are you doing this? Why are you giving me these expensive bottles? And the Lord told me, I'm trying to provoke you to think bigger. I want you to start asking me for cities. I want you to start asking me for nations. I want to provoke you to see higher than you've been seeing before. If you believe you can get Armani, you can believe you can get Rockford. You can believe you can get Roscoe. You can believe that you can get Beloit. You can get the United States of America. It might start off with a high price. Perfume, but I'm prophetic in every manner, and those perfumes speak to me, and it says to me, see, yes, you can have the cities, you can have the nations, you can have what you ask for, but we gotta change, we gotta be renewed by the transforming of our mind. If we can't believe for the water bill, he surely won't buy the house. Yeah. Hello. But we got all, because I'm telling you, don't conform to the ways of the world. The world is a merit system. Some people give a Christmas present because they got one. But the way that God thinks is you give without expecting anything back. Yes, right. See, don't conform to those ways, because you can give somebody something that they were asking God for, and that changes their whole life and perspective of God. Right. But you miss it because you said, they never buy me nothing. Right. You old worldly self, you. Time to get saved up in here. You are heaven on earth. We got to get over ourselves. There's nothing good about us without God. All of us together, all of us. Seminary, no seminary, cemetery with cemetery, all whatever it is. And I'm not putting down education. Education is good, but sometimes knowledge puffs up. And it causes us to think that we're holy and better than everybody. I'm telling you, I will never judge somebody, because I have the same potential to fall into that same hole. But I have decided to be one to throw the rope and to throw it for them to be rescued, not to choke them. Come on, somebody. We are heaven on earth. We gotta trick that devil. We gotta trick the devil just like Jesus tricked the devil. He tricked the devil. He was put to shame. He was dragged and made a public disgrace because then the devils were like, woo, they were doing the happy dance. They were doing the Macarena and everything else. They thought, whoa, Jesus is gone. Ha, ha, ha. Woo, hoo, hoo. Ha, ha, ha. No, the joke's on them. Now we just don't have one son of God. We have the sons of God. Come on, somebody. Time to get over yourself. You're not that good. Even on your good day, you are not good. The Bible speaks of us being as filthy rags without God, without His mercy and without His love. Our allegiance is to Jesus. That's why when I'm walking, whoever talks about me, whoever takes my motives wrong, when they misunderstand why I do something or why I say something, I just keep walking and I say, Lord, let the seed work. Let the seed go forth unhindered, Lord. Stop that foul of the air that wants to pluck out the truth from that one. Lord, let the cares of the world not choke out the seed on that one. I begin to speak to the seed because it's the seed that's going to grow and it's going to manifest in your lives. People of God, I'm telling you, you are heaven on earth. Your family is not going to know Jesus until you conform to be like Jesus. Until you forgive them when they don't deserve it because you didn't deserve it either. Hello, we don't deserve nothing. That's why some people say, oh, your family's so grateful and so happy because you don't know our story. We know we don't deserve it. We know that we brought shame to Jesus' name. But one of the things that we know is vengeance is of the Lord. And the sweetest revenge is to see your enemies become God's footstool. To see your enemies be blessed by God. To see your enemies become saved. I'm telling you, that's the best revenge. The one that wanted to kill you gets saved. The one that wanted to kill you goes and saves the city. And oh, I just love the man when he said, I forgot which man of God that was in the Bible, what he said, I'm going to give back. Jesus came and saved my household. Now I'm going to give back to everybody that I stole from. That's true repentance, people. That's getting a grip in your own mind saying, this money ain't taking me nowhere without Jesus. I'm telling you, people, we are in a season now. And, you know, I'm going to just be transparent with you. Sometimes God tells me to prophesy words I don't know the definition to. So you know it's God. And the Lord told me in second service that this past season that we're coming out of was a season of liquidation. It was a season of getting rid of some things and selling some things and letting go of some things because now we're coming into a new investment. Now we're coming into a new, there has been a transfer of the wealth that we don't realize is happening right now. 2015 is about investing. It's about releasing your seed. 2015, last year you had to get rid of something, not last year, last season, because it's been a while. Lastly, we're coming out of that season and you're going to bump into things. You're going to bump into your blessing. You're going to bump into your reward. You're going to bump into what God has for you because you endured. Because the race doesn't go to the swift. It goes to the one that endures. People of God, be renewed by the transforming of your mind that you begin to see good in things. Right away, people walk in, they got your seat. You just got an attitude. You just came from heaven to earth real quick. Boom. It ought not be among the believer. We should prefer the other one greater than ourselves. Hello. God never sees things the way humans do because He knows the end of a thing. Yeah, we got to stop being me, me, be, 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 be. Wah, 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 wah. I got that from my son, Justin. He does it. He does that all the time. When he just don't, he sees somebody just nagging, me, 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 me. You know, all we do is talk and the power's in the inside of you. That's what the devil wants you to do is curse your own self and block your own self and chain your own self and bind your own self. But we got power in ourself to say this too shall pass. All things work out for the good of those who love Him. according to his plan and purpose. It might not look right in people's eyes. Did it look right that Mary was a virgin and she had a baby? But it pleased God to put himself in a virgin's womb. He didn't care what people say. He didn't care that people would try to put her on Maury. Hello? You know, oh, come on. I'll give you $10,000. I'll give you $1,000,000 to come on my show. I could just hear Maury saying that to Mary. Who's the daddy? Hello? Who's the daddy? God, it was the daddy. Amen? He was the daddy, and if he pleased to do that. And see, we got to stop saying, woe is me. If you're in a marriage and a spirit of adultery wants to rise up in that marriage, you don't go, oh, I'm rejected. I'm not good enough. You got to stand up and say, the devil is a liar. You get out of my house. I bind you from the generations. You begin to minister. You begin to minister to that woman. You go and minister to that man. You go and minister and you say, Ollie, we're going to pray. Are you willing to confront this? I'll confront it with you.
Yeah.
Hello? We'll confront and we're going to oust this thing.
Yeah.
Amen. And then in marriages when money is low and poverty hits and, oh, you can't provide for me. I'm leaving. No, you say, come on, the devil is a liar. We've been tithing. We've been giving an offering. We're not going to fight each other. We're not going to blame each other. I know you're less of a man because you ain't working. And we're not going to do that. But we're going to say, come on, we're going to bind that spirit that wants to take down the men in our generation. That's seeing good. That's seeing with the eyes of God. I'm going to be, well, everybody else is doing it. I want to be special. I don't want to do it. I want to be different. I ain't going to do what you do. Be willing to be the one that's going to stand and make the difference because they never seen it done before. They've never seen it done before. So they need you to be able to walk it. When I was walking, it wasn't pretty. It hurt it. When my kids came against me, finances, everything came against me. I kept walking and I kept saying, I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus. And the enemy used to torment me and say, why are you wasting your time? Those kids don't care about you. I had to shut them up. And I said, it's impossible for my children not to love me because I'm inside of them and they're inside of me. And it's impossible. And I began to war and pray and speak in tongues. And I did what God told me to. There was sometimes I wanted to. But God glued my hands right here and my mouth shut tight. And there's sometimes I didn't want to say anything, but God said, open your mouth now. Hello. You don't understand. You're heaven on earth. That's why he beats you down. And we got to begin to see this new generation that's rising up different. We got to start seeing the good in them. And see, we see the problem, but we don't want to be the answer.
Right.
Be the answer for them. Love somebody. Love somebody that's been unloved. Hello? It's easy to say that they're doing this or that, but what are you doing to help them find something else to do? Hello? You are heaven on earth. You're what your family needs. You're what your city needs. You're what your nation needs. It's time to see heaven on earth. I'm sorry that I bust your bubble that you thought this cloud was going to come down on top of you and pick us all up. No, work's not done yet.
Amen.
Work's not done yet. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. We need to stop looking at the non-believer as evil.
Amen.
And look at them with compassion as the deceived. They're just deceived. Just like you were once deceived. The Bible says, we don't command people to love us. He commands us to love them. Hello? But sometimes we won't give love unless somebody gives it to us. Well, hello, it starts with somebody giving. Somebody got to give it up. Hello? Give that love. And sometimes it don't happen this year. Second year. But you know what? God is changing you in the process. He's changing you. You don't look the same anymore. Hello? Because God starts transforming you. And God starts building in you. He makes you the example. He makes you the manifestation of heaven. People look at me from high school. I've been connecting from junior high and high school people, and they're like, is that you, Norma? You are a minister? You're going to nations? I remember when you were afraid to drive. Hello? It's God, the hope of glory. That's when you're doing it God's way. In John 10, 14 to 18, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know him. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely laid down my life. And so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I receive this authority personally from my Father. Whoo, that's powerful. We have the power to give our life to something, but we also have the power to get it back. We need to start looking at, see, we have to, we're always looking for a distant place, and we never look at where we're at now. We don't look at, wow, I look at myself, wow, I can't believe I was on a plane for 13 hours when I was so fearful of plane. I remember the first time I went on a plane with my sister, she was so embarrassed with me. I was like panicking and hysteria was on me. The stewards had to come and we landed. It was only like a two and a half hour flight, I think. We were going to Texas. And then on the way back, this really handsome businessman was in the middle. God always intervenes. And he was so nice talking to me, and I was like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And the plane's like this, uh-huh. Come on. We can laugh in church, people. Tell the truth and shame that devil. Come on. Hello. You are heaven on earth, people. God called us to be the game changer. We are the game changer. We're the one that's going to change the game. When we learn to stop freaking out at every little thing, he'll keep putting fires there if you keep freaking out. You just burn that one. Oh, oh, oh. We're just burning and we're not doing nothing. You got to walk through and say, I dare you to burn me. Because the Bible says, when I go through the fire, I shall not get burned. Come on, somebody. Come on. Let him pull it out. Let him put the fire out. It may be one simple little thing God is telling you to do. To forgive somebody. Ooh, really? Yes, just forgive. Just forgive Unky. Just forgive that person. And you'll see that that rivalry within your family will cease. Amen. But they're waiting for a peacemaker to arise. Yes. Amen. I'm telling you, God wants us to pull down that pride, that religious pride that we have. Don't fool yourself. We are capable of doing anything crazy. So without God, without Jesus, he is the center of it all. But I want you to tell you, it's not just, it's fun. You learn to have fun watching fire not burn you. You learn to have fun when the waters are going high and you don't even know how to swim. You learn for God to turn you into flipper. I love Jesus. I love him so much because he first loved me. He loves you with an everlasting love, people. It's time for the church to look like the church again. It's time to look for the church. My marriage was dissolved, but you know what? I am a battle axe when it comes to somebody attacking someone else's marriage. There's no, not on my watch. I'm going to war for you. I'm going to fight for you because I'm not going to let my loss be in vain. Amen. I'm going to help someone else. Amen. I'm going to help someone else's marriage live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel so sorry for that man that he didn't see all this loveliness. I have so much compassion for him. I say, Lord, help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Don't let him live in such regret, Lord. Let him enjoy life sometime before he goes see you, Jesus. ain't no reason to be bitter. It's a reason to be better. Rascal Flatts helped me out on that one right there. Amen. Well, today I'm going to ask Pastor Donnie, Pat, and Peggy, and Sandy to come up. And I don't want you guys to be alarmed, but something spiritual is going to happen. Okay? See, it really freaks me out when people are scared when spiritual things happen in church. But God has brought us here today. And there is a transaction happening when we come to meet with God. God is imparting in you and giving you supernatural strength and ability and vision and opening our ears. And today, the Word of God says if someone's going to prophesy, let them prophesy two or three. And let those that hear it judge. I didn't say bring judgment. I said judge it. That if it's for you or not. And I want you to hear God today. Because he wants to release over you. This is the end of the year and God wants to catapult you and to transform your mind to say, I'm not the downtrodden, I'm the weapon of God. I'm heaven on earth and I'm here to be heaven. And if it means to be quiet and pray, if it means to love them, if it means to pay their light bill, if it means to feed them. I gave this an example. You on your job, some people think your job is from the devil because there's so much demonic things. It was a place God needed to release heaven there. And that's why you're there, not to be afraid of them, not to be speaking in tongues when they don't even know what you're doing, but to be there. It could be something simple like bake this casserole that you didn't even know that it was the main gang leader on your job's favorite dish. That Grammy used to make. The Grammy that loved her without no conditions. And when she eats that casserole, she begins to break and weep. And now she can't even be how she looks, how she used to be because she hears Grandma. She hears Grandma's counsel. And it's just the obedience of bringing that casserole after she was talking against your back. But God told you, go bake that casserole. Go get on Pinterest. Go scroll down to this page, and there's going to be a recipe there. Hello? Because, see, we're people that we're good at trying to find devils. Google's a devil. Google's my friend sometimes when I don't want to look through all the scriptures. Hello? Yeah. We have to see things good in it. Good in things. Just I'm going to get the good things out of Google. Amen? It could be something simple like that, and you just became heaven on earth for that generation, because when you save one person, you have impacted the generations.
Thank you, Jesus. I hear the Father say to you, you are a son to me. I call you a son, and I call you my daughter. Your soul is good. Your soul is good. At the core of your very being is goodness. That is what your soul is, your mind, your will, and emotions. You will know from this day forth only goodness. But I ask you to say yes to me. Bring me yourself as a seed, a living sacrifice that does not cost you a thing. Mm. And from that place, I am shifting your perspective to see situations and the way that you used to think, watch out. You are going to see it through a place of goodness. The Holy Spirit that I've given you as a gift, His attributes, my attributes are goodness, kindness, selflessness, gentleness, self-control. I am your God that protects you and delivers you, and I want to bless you. You live between me, the Father, and my Son, says the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I hear the Lord say that in 2014, many of you had disappointments. Many of you had dreams that crashed. He said in 2015, as you begin to move forward, bring those dreams with you because they are a reality. Because I am your Father, and I am here to make that transition for you. He said, know in this season that there were disappointments, but as the 2015 begins, I am renewing you. I am going to renew all of the things that you brought before me. There's been sadness, there's been sorrow, there's been disappointments. He said, I want to bring joy, unspeakable joy. Mm. I want to bring freedom that as you know me, you will expand. He said, I'm not here to take away. I'm here to release to you. So in this season, walk into 2015 knowing that I, your Father, loves you. I, your Father, loves you. Thus saith the Lord.
I hear the Lord saying that this is going to be a time of unity, where in the following days, you're going to come together more. It's going to be a time where you're going to want to gather together. It's not going to be a time of wanting to just going my way and you go your way. He's going to bring us not only together as family, but as a church family, as a community. We're all going to go through this together. It's going to be a time of marvelousness. It's going to be a fast-moving train that we're going to go forward on, and we're going to do it all together.
Amen. Amen.
I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that God says, I'm going to, in this season, I'm going to demand your growth. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of the Lord said that many of us in this room have been hanging out in a low place far too long. But the Lord says, as the Apostle Paul said, I press towards the high mark. We know if there's a high mark, there also has to be a low mark. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord says, I'm demanding growth in this hour. I'm causing you to maturate in this hour. I'm causing an expeditious anointing to be granted unto you in this hour. For the Lord says, everything that you've been locked out of, I now give you access into. But this is a season where you're going to begin to have the desire of your heart. For the Lord says, I'm going to begin to give back unto you everything that life has taken away. For you thought many things that were lost and lost forever. But God says, my anointing will cause the lost items to become found. Mm. But this is a time of your life where I'm going to allow my grace to overcome you. Where you're going to begin to give people what they deserve the least when they need it the most, saith the Lord. I hear the Spirit of the Lord also say unto you, I'm going to also throw parties for people you thought were undeserving. Just as the prodigal son got a party thrown for him in the fatted calf cut for him, and they brought out the best gift and the best of everything. God says, I'm cutting off that spirit of the elder brother that says it's undeserving. They don't look what they've done. Do you know what they did? Do you know how they've harmed? Do you know how they've hurt? Do you know how they've transgressed? God says, I know they don't deserve it, but my grace is good enough. My grace is sufficient. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, you will not be defined by what you did. You will not be defined by what your father did. You will not be defined by your government. You will be defined by the new nature of God, which is the culture of the kingdom. And the Lord says, as you look to me, I'm going to make all things good. Even though all things were not good, they will turn out for your good, saith the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I hear the Lord say, I have broken the orphan spirit from you, and no longer will you walk through and fro and not know direction and not know identity, says the Lord. For surely I'm breaking off shame and guilt, and I'm breaking off even the mistakes of forefathers. You will not drag them along, and you will not even see yourself, because many times the enemy wants you to identify with a past relationship or a past generation. But I hear the Lord say that you shall walk in me, in my power and my might, says the Lord. And I'm going to open your eyes, and instead of mourning, says the Lord, I'm going to cause a gladness to come upon you, says the Lord. For weeping comes for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is a transition that I'm taking you out of, says the Lord. I'm taking you out of the place of liquidation and the place of release and letting go. And now I'm bringing the transfer, says the Lord. And now you shall be identified with me and my kingdom and my glory and my riches and my greatness, says the Lord. And you will know how to walk circumstantially before me, says the Lord. And you walk in the grace and the mercy, says the Lord. You'll not walk around haughty, and you'll not walk around proud. And your identity is not going to be in the works, but your identity shall be in me, says the Lord. For there's coming an increased anointing. For the enemy was vicious in the past season to aggressively come with deceit. And even this nation has been over in much deceit. But I'm going to use my people to overturn the tables of the enemy, says the Lord. And I'm going to cause you to go into cities that no one would bother with. And I'm going to bring those provisions. When you put on your agenda, my agenda, I will provide, says the Lord. I will no longer stand for man's manipulations, says the Lord. And no more sideshows, and no more things sprouting out that are not of me. But I'm going to gather together, and I shall have one flock, says the Lord. And I'll be the shepherd over that flock. And I will lead you into the cities, and I will lead you into the nations, says the Lord. The Lord says, even that which you were looking for doesn't look like you thought it was going to look, or the way you wanted to look. For man looks on the outside, but I look at the heart, says the Lord. And I will not give you superficiality, says the Lord. I will give you the reality of my heart, says the Lord. And you will learn to trust me. You will learn to trust me for the end and not just the beginning. And you'll learn to trust me to walk in what I called you to do. And you'll see yourself no longer as a black sheep of the family. And you'll no longer look at yourself as the one that is laughed at or mocked. But you'll look at yourself like a Joseph. And you'll look like yourself like a Daniel, that I was sent on the earth for such a time as this. Yeah. So the Lord says, the enemy has convinced many of you that your life is over. He's convinced you that your life is worthless. He has convinced you of that. But I say today, says the Lord, that I break the back, and I will use you to break in pieces that lie so that your children do not walk in it, says the Lord. So I'm causing you to honor one another and not to be familiar with the heaven that's in my people. Don't look, says the Lord. Don't look at their humanness. Look at the heaven that I placed in the inside of them. Many of you have been looking for the answer, but the answer's been in front of your face. But because you don't desire it from that avenue, you won't take it. But the Lord says, even as the prophet told Naaman, the prophet simply told you to dip into Jordan. If he would have told you to do something smaller, you would have done it. And the Lord says, allow me to break it off. And I want to release this scripture over you, because this is what the Lord wanted me to release over Life Church. John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So Father God, right now I decree it over Life Church, and I decree it over the people and their generations. And I release right now, lift your hands, and just a simple prophetic act of receiving. I release now the power to become the sons of God. I release it now. I release it now. I break the struggle to understand. And I release the supernatural ability to hear God's voice right now. I open the ear of the church and the eyes of the church and the heart of the church to the voice of God. Without it, it's just a shell. It's just a shell. Without God's voice, because his voice is his spirit. And without his spirit, the body is just a shell. But I thank you that you saw fit, Lord, to release heaven and Roscoe through Life Church and through the church plants that you are extending. If we ever take away your spirit, we're taking away life. But I thank you that you saw that the earth needed someone that could teach the Holy Spirit and let it manifest. And you brought a Pastor Kevin Kringle on the earth to release it in integrity, not holding it back or not making it not what it is. But you used him. May he never lose sight of what you called him to do, Lord, to release your spirit, to release life. No other voice will he hear but your voice, Lord, for you are the shepherd. Let him hold fast to what you've given him. And I bind every voice. I bind the fowls of the air, the cares of the world, the thistles and the thorns that will try to choke out the message you gave him to release to this generation. And I decree and declare cities and nations that you will release. You will do it. You will lead us. And I thank you for the people here. And I decree that they're blessed and highly favored the Lord. And they are the sons of God in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to have the worship, altar team to come quickly. And I want to give an opportunity for those of you that don't know this awesome God and wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And I want everybody to close their eyes and bow their head as we're coming to this place and time to give people a personal privacy to make this commitment to the Lord. Also on Internet TV, I want to give you that opportunity as well. By the showing of your hand, I would like you to lift your hand if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You don't have to come up here. We're just going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. For the sake of everyone here and those on internet, let's say a prayer together. Father God, in Jesus' name, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we ask you to cleanse us from our sins. Show us the way to go, so that we do not depart from it. I yield my heart to you and my thoughts. Have your way in my life. In Jesus' name. Let's praise the Lord for that. Also, we open up the altars for those who would like ministry today. I encourage you, even if you don't have a certain thing on your mind, to come and just get ministered to before you leave today. Let me bless you. Father, thank you for your people. I ask that you bless them. And I pray for those that have invested in other people's life during this Christmas season, those that have bought gifts for people to show them that they love them and care. I pray, Father, you would give them double back. I pray that credit cards would be paid off. I pray for blessings and surprises to come upon them. And I pray, Lord God, that they would see your heart, Father God, towards them, Father God. That you would bless them, Lord. And even where the enemy would say, oh, you shouldn't have spent that, you shouldn't have done that. Father, I pray that you release the finances to them. Because they did it to show love, Father. And we ask that you bless them. And I pray that they have, Lord God, grab this word and they are in hearts of expectation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.